26, 2019, Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. We welcome everyone who's here this morning. And we'll begin our agenda. The first item on our agenda is approval of the February 26, 2019 meeting minutes. Those meeting minutes have been distributed to the board previously. Is there any discussion on the minutes? And if not, we'll entertain a motion.
I move to pass the February agenda.
Second.
All right, so moving to second to approve the February 26th meeting minutes. And go ahead and vote.
It's a miracle.
It threw you all the way out.
Yeah. You can put me down for a table. I lost the program.
Agenda is 7360 Skidaway Road. It's a request for special use. We'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner for the property at 7360 Skidaway Road is requesting approval of use 95A of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. Use 95A is classified as an animal hospital, veterinary clinic, or animal boarding place. Part of the zoning ordinance, that use within the BN zoning classification requires use approval pursuant to section 4-5.2. The subject property is within a portion of property, as I mentioned, at 7360 Skidaway Road. This is an existing shopping center that was constructed in 1989 and expanded and renovated in 2012. As you can see, there are essentially two main buildings and then several out parcels. The petitioner is intending on operating within one of these buildings. The total square footage of the entire retail area is approximately 75,000 square feet. This particular intersection near Skidaway exhibits a number of a mix of uses, primarily at the intersections, however, are commercial uses, including the shopping center. There is a landscape nursery immediately east of the property. You've also got a number of other retail uses at that intersection. There is nearby residential behind the shopping center and immediately west of it as well. Staff did review the requirements for use approval, which is section 10-6.2 of the ordinance, and found that the proposed use is consistent with the overall development pattern as it relates to the other commercial in the area. I think, though, that this particular use is probably a little bit different than our typical animal hospital or veterinary clinic in the county that we've seen in the past. And I'll have the applicant discuss that a little bit because they are taking over what was formerly a grocery store, so it's a large amount of square footage. So with that, we are recommending approval of the use, and I'll yield to any questions or to the petitioner as the board sees fit.
Any questions for Mr. Lawson at this time?
Any letters or comments from neighboring merchants or businesses?
We did not receive any letters from any neighboring merchants or businesses. There was a few phone calls regarding what the proposed use was. I don't think there's any opposition of note.
Thank you. We'll hear from the petitioner.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the ZBA. For the record, Josh Gellin here today on behalf of Fur Palace LLC, who's the proposed tenant, along with 7360 LLC, who is the owner of the shopping center. We would like to thank Mr. Watson for his recommendation for approval. The site in question is the old Paperwood location. It is approximately 30,000 square feet, a very large space, but it has been vacant since at least 2015. And this is really one of the first users who has proposed to come in. It is a new concept for the region. It's going to be an upscale dog hotel. They're pretty common in other parts of the country, but it will be a full service boutique dog and pet grooming with vet on site and boarding. So it really encompasses all three of the aspects of 95A in terms of having a veterinary clinic, a grooming facility, and the dog boarding. Everything will be enclosed in the site. There will be an indoor swimming pool, there will be an indoor track. Everything will be self-contained within this area. And we truly believe it's a good use for this old space. It is less intensive of a use, less parking requirements than would be for a grocery store. We are happy to answer any questions that you may have, both of myself, and I'm with one of the partners, Dr. George, who is here with me, and we are happy to answer any questions that you have, but respectfully request that you approve of special use 95A for this location.
Good.
It's more of a curiosity question for me. Is there soundproofing for the adjoining businesses for barking?
According to the zoning code, there is a, and I don't quite understand the code, there is a requirement that if there's outdoor areas that they must be enclosed with a rated 52 decibel screening. I'm not sure what that means, but if we were to go outside, yes, there is a requirement that you have to properly buffer the sound from the dark, from the barking dogs.
So no requirement for inside?
No, sir.
That's not what it says.
And it's waste disposal?
Waste disposal, everything, it's my understanding that animal and pet waste is allowed to be disposed of in the sewer system, so everything will be posted out of drain and taken care of that way versus having excrement pile up in outdoor dumpsters. Everything will be disposed of so as not to create any sort of nuisance with smell.
And does this compare in scale and scope to the Von Trapp Animal Lodge?
It compares in terms of, I think, the quality of it. It will be larger than the Von Trapp Animal Lodge. This will be the 30,000 square feet will be used entirely for this operator. A good portion of it will be the vet clinic and the grooming clinic.
I think so, yeah.
But it will be,
that would be something we'd have to determine.
Than the Von Trapp Animal Lodge, yes.
Will the dogs be allowed to be walked outside?
If there is the outdoor component, yes. I haven't seen full site plans yet, but my understanding was there would not be a large outdoor component, that they were going to be building an indoor track that the dogs could run in. So it would function as an open area, but just in terms of some of the concerns that we've heard regarding outdoor noise from some of what I've done for other similar operators, the outdoor noise is a concern for neighboring residents, and so they do try and keep them indoors as much as possible.
You need an idea of capacity? How many resident animals could they have?
The preliminary site plan that I was looking at showed approximately 100 dogs, but that was subject to change. Obviously, this is one of those projects when you need the special use approval, it's very hard to convince people to spend the money up front before they know that they can come in and get the use in this location. But from talking with the landlord of the site, the landlord was very excited to have a tenant express interest in such a large space. With the way the retail market is going, it's very hard to find users who are willing to take on 30,000 square feet of leasable area.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Yeah.
No, for the petitioner, only for the petitioner at this point. None? All right. Thank you. Is anyone here from the public speak on tonight? Looking forward to it. Have you signed in?
I did not. I will speak.
Oh, you're fine. So there's a sheet just there to your left. Mr. Yellen, I assume you did sign in. You're familiar
yes.
with the process.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on to this speaker, can I get Mr. Seebeck to clarify one issue that came up?
Yes.
I just wanted to make it clear. Mr. Yellen said that only outdoor runs required that soundproofing, but according to this, it says all pens, kennels, runs shall be within an enclosed structure that has a sound transmission class rating as set forth in architectural graphic standards of at least 52. So that would be something that the owners would need to provide to us when I'm assuming they're going to be doing some interior work on this, and we'll need to see that as part of that work.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That was a thought of mine. The neighbor's fine.
Right.
I don't hear you barking dogs at some point.
100 dogs.
You'll state your name and raise your right hand.
All Childers.
Mr. Childers, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Childers of the Yerpai, which is like one space removed from the proposed plan for the old Pahulubu space. The outside, so there is no plan for outside area, or the mic, please.
I'm not positive if there is a plan yet. They were still working on their site plan. Everything that I'd seen previously was for a small outdoor area, but that was subject to now these new revisions regarding the outdoor run. So their plans were still in flux, but it was not going to be an outdoor run. That makes sense.
Okay. Thank you. My biggest concern would be in a restaurant next door is if there is an outside area, we probably need to get the health department involved because we don't want any transfer of possible contagions through, if it's an adjacent yard to the back of our building, obviously that's a concern of us, but possibly. Anyway, we would like a third party that would be knowledgeable to sign off on something that would be so close to us with the animal situation and food for the public or eating outside, which we do have a little area out there to eat outside. So, you know, I don't have an opinion, that, you know, because I'm not knowledgeable on that. I would like somebody to make sure that that's not going to be a problem.
And is your outside eating venue in the front of the establishment?
It's as you face the building and their building to the right of our
to the right.
It's connected, of course. There is a space behind us that is just a couple of trees and there's some dirt area, and right now there's not any use there. But not knowing their intention, and the landlord's not here to say, so I just don't want to say yes, but then they use that spot directly behind our back door and behind our space where people eat at night. So that's just my concern. So if there is an outside part, then let's talk about it and figure out a way. Because there is some larger area with space back there behind that area I'm talking about right now. It's divided by a fence. It's between the Norwood Tavern, which is a restaurant on the corner of Central Avenue and Norwood there, which I believe is the tenant's property. So there's space out there, outdoor for there. I just have a concern to be right next door if that happens.
Okay.
Good point.
Marcus or Bob, any thoughts on that from a staff perspective? Is that something that's been considered? Or is that something that keeps them before us?
The application was pretty vague. I would have made comments from engineering department about stormwater concerns with pet waste. If there's an outdoor area, but I couldn't tell from the application what the request was for. So I would comment now any variance you grant, maybe have some consideration for the outdoor, if there's an outdoor use for handling the waste appropriately.
Let me, if I can add something.
One thing I just wanted to say for the record is that in the event that the petitioner only does interior build out to the facility, then no site plan would be required, only a building permit would be required, and the county would review that. However, if they are proposing work outdoors, then a site plan would be required, and we could get into the review of that portion of it during that phase.
Can we, I know we can, but we can craft this however we like, but this approval only is for internal work and if anything outside were to occur, separate.
I think the way to do that, if the board chooses to do that, would be to make it a condition that the use be internal only, and in the event that they want to do something outside, it'd have to be revisited.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that. I would certainly want to see a site plan before I approve something outside.
I think that's the easiest solution, is to approve it subject to being all enclosed.
That is a separate use.
If there's any exterior addition to it, that come back to get approved of that portion of the site plan.
Well, we also need to get the issue that Mr. Seebeck quoted about the sound insulation that is required on the interior of the building.
Yes, ma'am. I misread the ordinance. We are happy to insulate and do the soundproofing as is currently required by the county ordinance. I read it as only applying to kennels and runs that were outside, but if it's a requirement for interior as well, we will clearly build out the building.
So, and that'll be required as part of their building permit.
Right.
Is there anyone else from the public to speak on this matter? Sir, come forward. You'll sign in on the sheet right there. Mm-hmm. Please state your name and raise your right hand.
Norman Luton.
Mr. Luton, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm here representing the San Clay Neighborhood Association, San Clay Community, currently president. My concern was basically, what I walked in on and heard about having a site plan for any further extension and development, but also, the soundproofing of the building, the requirements that would, make the ease or the special usage good for the other tenants. I had opportunity to speak with other tenants. They were not at liberty to make any comments, since, CBS is leasing and Yes, my pie is leasing as well in the complex. But for as the neighborhood's concerned, we are kind of cautious about, allowing special usages, for existing zoning purposes. Let it be reminded that, that particular occupation, in that particular complex, the occupation is for human interaction, human retail space. And everything in there is, human retail. Drug stores, dental places, restaurants. So, we just want the commission to be reminded of that and not, to be unsympathetic to the existing residents. So, keep that in mind. We don't have any complaints about the animal hospital. There's an animal hospital further up the block in the 7200 block. It's a standalone place, and we have to be considerate about animal hospitals, pet daycare, kennels, and stuff like that, with the right amount of setback and distance from other location, stuff like that. I just want to, make that clear.
I appreciate those thoughts. Since you're the association president, I'm just curious. I know there are always, in a way, different equities of something. If you've had a building that's been sitting empty for some time, is it as concerning if it's all internal?
Yeah, if they make the right upgrades, I think, the sound proofing of the walls, I think that'll be most appropriate. I understand it. It's going to be like a all-inclusive type of animal hospital, daycare. And I spoke with the person who is, you know, handling this, you know, for the client, and, you know, they informed me that, you know, all the amenities, you know, would be self-contained, and there won't be any activity outside. Everything, all the exercising of the animals will be inside the building and stuff like that. So, so that's good too. But I think you also ought to look at the other aspects of it, you know, the disposal of the waste and stuff like that, all that stuff too. I have no further complaints. I can't speak with, you know, for the occupying tenants, but as a, you know, a neighborhood, we would like the commission to be conscious of allowing special uses, you know, for already existing zoning. And, you know, with that in mind, I have no further comments.
Thank you. Is there anything further from the petitioner?
I did speak with Mr. Luton, and hopefully we have addressed most of his concerns regarding the tenants. Through my conversations with the landlord, there are no current use restrictions in place on the shopping center. Most shopping centers do have those, where you try and keep out uses that the shopping center owner would feel is incompatible with the existing tenants. Here, there's no such use restriction on animal hospitals, boarding houses, that sort of type of use. We do thank staff again for their recommendation of approval, and hope that you will also approve use 95A for this site. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further from staff?
No, sir.
Any discussion?
I think the restricting it to the building and requiring them to come back, and if they plan to use any of the outside area, would be a reasonable restriction on the use. And that, that would make everybody more comfortable, I believe, particularly the neighbors.
Well, I feel comfortable with our approval also. Even though the ordinance states it, Mr. Seebeck stated, but I'd like to go ahead and include the noise.
Sure.
Yeah, it's one requirement. The approval.
Okay, Mr. Blackman could state the
motion. I'll try to state the motion.
Will you let us know what the precise language of the noise is? We can include that.
It
so says, you can reference the use from the zoning ordinance section as well.
It's listed as part of the use for that. If you want to have it here.
So
95A.
95A.
I would move to approve the use subject to there being no outside facilities, and subject to the provisions of use 95A in the zoning ordinance that it be set back at least 100 feet from any dwelling unit or residential zoning boundary line. And all pens, kennels, and runs shall be within an enclosed structure that has a sound transmission class rate is set forth in the architectural graphic standards of at least 52.
Properly moved. Is there a second?
Second.
And then further discussion, we'll go ahead and vote.
Thank you.
last name, first initial.
You got that.
At vmpc.org.
What's the password? Yeah.
Password is password.
Look at me.
That's why I prefer a voice logo to show a name.
No kidding.
This is
color me a dinosaur, but golly, this is ridiculous.
It's a lot quicker to do that than try to have all of them speed text out. Have to come back to the Board of Appeals for approval.
I think that's all.
I think that goes without saying. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But since we all agree on that, let's add that into the motion in the minutes.
It's been approved, and thank you all for coming. And
thank you
for the other gentlemen. Thank you all for coming as well. And expressing your opinions and thoughts.
Yes. Good to see the process working.
The next item on our regular agenda is 132 Waterway Drive. It is a marsh buffer setback variance request, and we'll hear from Sat this time.
Thank you.
Good luck.
There was another approach.
Mr. Chairman, the next item, a petition for 132 Waterway Drive. The petitioner is requesting a 10-foot marsh buffer setback variance from the 35-foot requirement. This is a tax map of the subject property at Waterway Drive. It's an existing undeveloped single-family residential parcel in the Moon River subdivision. The property in question is a conforming lot of record. It's approximately 26,000 feet in size, square feet in size, with an average depth of approximately 210 feet. The petitioner's intent is to construct a new single-family residence on the property. The property is adjacent to the Moon River, Bucks Marsh, along the rear property line, and is therefore subject to the county's 35-foot marsh buffer setback. This is an area limit of the approximate location of the proposed residence. The petitioner has indicated in the information provided in their application that they purchased the property in 2015, received approval from the Legends Architectural Review Committee for the design of the proposed home in 2018. And they've attached the site plan, which I'll show you here in just a second, but it appears that everything that was done with the proposed site plan was done based on what their professionals were assuming was a 25-foot setback. So the proposed structure is built basically to that line. This is the site plan that was provided by the applicant, and zoom in a little here to show you the area of encroachment. The green line represents the 35-foot marsh buffer setback, and this area that's outlined in red is a proposed terrace and spa, and this is the area in which the property of the development would encroach into the marsh buffer setback. In review of the criteria for the variance, it does not appear that the property is different in any way or suffering from any particular shape or topography issues. There do not appear to be any special circumstances here other than the fact that the design choice in terms of the house, as well as the probably some misinformation as it relates to what the requirement was when all this was developed, occurred. I think also that the applicant and I had this discussion that when the proposed house was laid out, the location established, and they've been obviously working on this for some time, and they feel that a significant renovation of these plans right now would constitute an unnecessary hardship on them. In staff's review, however, based on the criteria of the zoning ordinance, we were not recommending approval based on those criteria. But I would like to state and point to you the conditions that were provided by Mr. Kirkland, that in the event that the board does recommend approval today, that you consider those conditions that are outlined in the staff report, which are to have all design alternatives be considered prior to a variance, that any variance that is granted take into account as minimal disturbance to the buffer as possible, and any stormwater runoff created by impervious surfaces be directed to an area on the subject property that allows infiltration. With that, I'll be done with any questions.
How did this get approved for the building permit to put pillars in without that being called?
I don't think the applicant has not sought a building permit yet. They provided their permit information to the county, and then the county let them know that the proposed building was encroaching. So they have not received a permit yet.
So we shouldn't be concerned that any work has been done since it's unpermitted.
That's correct. I don't believe there's any land disturbance that has taken place at this time. All they've done to this point is submit the plans. The only approvals they've received is through the Land Use Architectural Review Committee.
So what has been done? You said
something about footings.
No, I think what I was trying to make was that the petitioner's position was that the amount of work on paper identifying where things would be has been substantial for them to this point. And to change this at this point would require, obviously revising everything that's been done plan-wise so far.
For me, I would not be happy if my architect charged me for his or her mistake to fix it.
Right.
They should live in the setback, sorry.
Right.
And frankly, the ARB should as well. But
Did you say earlier in your report that when they purchased it in 2015, the setback was still 25, and subsequent to their purchase, it got moved? Or?
No, it's been 35 since that time. I think there was a misunderstanding on the part of some of the consultants that worked on the project that assumed it was 25, and it was not.
It's been 35 for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
And on the 26,000 square foot lot, there are a lot of ways to reconfigure the location of this house to keep it
probably on the full size plans.
I agree with that.
Anonymous.
It's not like we have a cramped lot that needs just a little bit of extra space.
Right.
Any other comments or questions for staff? Thank you. Petitioner here. Have you signed in?
Yes.
All right. If you'll raise your right hand, state your name.
I'm Timothy Slattery.
You swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm not a lawyer, so, but I am representing my father, who is the owner of the production. And it basically comes down to the fact, as has been detailed, that a well-known surveyor surveyed this lot 2.5 years ago, and unfortunately got it wrong. And what we're talking about, as you can see, is possibly 28 square feet of a patio and a tiny bit of this quote-unquote 8-foot spa that's going to be there. And the issue really is, because I've been an owner builder a couple times, is that it's a reasonably warm, if not hot, building market right now, and to get good framers, which is what this all comes down to really, is problematic if we are delayed crazily by 6 weeks. The delay may end up then being 6 months to get someone who can build this as opposed to something that's a bit more cookie cutter. So it's our fault, but we would just ask that you consider that we're talking about something really small, probably around 28 square feet, that is inside the zoned area there. You can see it yourself, I'm sure. So we would just ask that you consider that, given how small this impingement is into the 10-foot area between 25 and 35, that you show us a bit of mercy.
Any questions for the petitioner?
Is there any reason the house can't be moved forward on the lot?
No. No, our choices are to simply do away with the patio, which is the simplest way, and you know, as was noted, we've gone through pilings and there's just a lot of stuff involved, which again, the easiest way is to get rid of that structure, resubmit it to the county. That's usually 2 weeks or 10 working days. And again, the big issue, having a modest amount of experience as an owner builder, is there are only a couple people that I know of who have the appropriate skills to build this house and have some steel in it and what have you. And given they will only work for somebody like me when their business is slack, or they will try and fit me in, what's been noted is that we're probably looking at the fall to find a framer. And again, it's not going to kill us. We're very fortunate people. It's just, we suggest that, again, it's a really small impingement there. It's not really major. And we would ask you to look at it in that context.
You refer to this as a patio. Is this an impervious surface?
Yes, unfortunately, I noted that to my brother. I said, could you do it with pavers? And unfortunately, it's slightly raised. But does it have to be raised? Would be a good question. If we could get away with pavers, maybe I could suggest to him to put it at ground level.
I certainly understand the concerns, and you know, I'll just tell you, from sitting on this board for the amount of time we've really made people tear down structures for being too close to the curb in the neighborhoods. And my other concern is the precedent it sets. This is over at Moon River, where there's other lots. And
there are.
We will basically then have approved a 10-foot variance for every
everybody.
Lot
right.
Yeah. Moving forward at that point. And that's, I can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm one vote, but I can.
I would have to agree with Ms. Wallen. Mm-hmm.
I think we all would. This has been a consistent issue, and we have taken the same position numerous times, and very rarely do we depart from it, and particularly not when the lot allows for whatever development there is by shifting a structure a few feet.
Or just taking off that front piece.
Right. I mean, you could move 10 feet in, I guess that's, I can't tell what direction is what. I don't see
left.
The direction.
You go left, towards the street.
Yeah. Towards the street, and that would solve all the problems.
We'll get rid of it.
Yeah.
I hope the architect's not a friend of mine. I've seen the survey is correct. I mean, it's drawn the way it is, but mm-hmm.
The architect drew this.
It was based on the setback being 25 feet.
Hopefully it's not a friend of mine, but they messed that up. frankly, personally, not letting them charge me to fix the mistake.
Can I raise another issue? There's no date on the marsh line, and those are only good for a year, so it's possible. You have the letter?
Yeah, we have a new letter.
I saw it yesterday.
Okay. So...
Deb Ferrario, dated March 21st, she only did the survey March 25th. She
okay.
She said the marsh line is...
Okay.
It is where it is.
That's good. That's one less concern, but...
we thought we'd try.
No, that's worth the old college try. Well, a motion?
Motion to deny.
Second?
Or to confirm staff recommendation.
The motion's been made to confirm staff recommendation to deny the variance request. I think I'll reach out to, or maybe I could do it as a neighbor, but maybe you could do it as staff, reach out to planning,
Association.
And that'd be one more layer to help residents and catch these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll definitely make them aware of that.
It was consistent until we got to the permit stage that the plot plan that the landings had, everything they had, led us to this point.
Mm-hmm. But they should know that as well.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly,
it's not new.
A half one lot, two lots beyond us, and I'm going to try to get to whoever's building it and tell them.
They may be.
They don't have to be your advocates, but they do have to be your advisors. The Landings Association doesn't necessarily need to be your advocate, but they certainly should be able to be your advisors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have already jumped through hoops of
it. And they're very particular. I can't believe they missed that.
That's all right.
They are very particular in granting these approvals architecturally.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm surprised somebody needs to remind them.
We spent 18 months to get
here. Yeah. Sorry.
So it's
unfortunate.
I can't wait to have my brother come here. It was a miracle that he decided to leave Philadelphia and come here.
That's intercoastal.
It'll happen.
Is there any other business?
One.
Ain't no more adjourned.
Thank you.